Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Dr. Alice Green. And Dr. Green is going to talk about the recent police misconduct in the city of Albany. So, Alice, what do you think of this latest flare-up?
Well, first of all, to view it was very difficult. It was very brutal. It was disappointing that we were able to see that there are some police officers who respond to situations in that manner. The Center for Law and Justice, have been working very closely with the police department. I've worked with the department for many, many years, and we thought we were beyond such behavior, even though many in the community has always reminded us that that wasn't the case for some communities and some neighborhoods and some people. So it was very difficult to see this and to realize that we hadn't gotten as far as we thought we had.
So you have a long history in Albany of activism. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you do and, you know, how you got involved.
Yeah, well, I think it's important to note that the Center for Law and Justice was formed nearly 35 years ago. And it was born as a result of the police killing a man who had mental health issues, Jesse Davis, in 1984 or 1985, somewhere in there. I label that a murder because Mr. Davis was in his apartment and the police decided for whatever reason that they wanted to quiet him down, and this man who had mental health issues. So they actually broke into his apartment and killed him, claiming that he had approached them with a knife and a fork. But when he was shot by the police, lying there dead or dying on his floor, another police officer happened on the scene, took a photo, and it showed very clearly that Mr. Davis had a keychain and a toy truck. And
oh,
I think
my God.
This was the incident that really organized the community around dealing with police brutality. And so the center took much of the lead in doing this and formed our organization to basically monitor and work with the community on changing the way the department functions. So we've been
I'm sorry, Alice. Go ahead.
No, we've been doing that, but we also have certainly broadened our involvement in not just policing, but the entire criminal justice system. So we work on policy. We do reports. We handle individual cases of people coming in for all kinds of reasons, including claims of police abuse.
Okay, so this latest incident in Albany, the landlord, I assume, was an absentee landlord. Would you say that the landlord is partially to blame for all of this?
I wouldn't say that. I don't know the landlord. I don't know what has happened to, regarding the landlord.
Okay.
All I can tell you is that the Albany community, the Albany Police Department, and the community have been working on changing the culture of the police department. And one of the things that was embraced was community policing, which means that the community and the police department really formed a partnership to identify problems and to try to find solutions to those problems. And here you have a situation where we are told that police were called to this address about 70-some times, which would have certainly said to me that there's a problem there. And how do you go about addressing that problem in a reasonable, effective kind of way? And that was the thing that the community, the neighbors in that community, should have been doing if there was this huge problem. But you don't wait until you're called in 75 times and then go in violating the rights of people, breaking into their homes without a warrant, and abusing and brutalizing people. That just is not community policing. So if we're really committed to community policing, we've got to work very differently with the community. So I don't know. I don't blame the landlord. I don't know what responsibility the landlord had on this, but I think the community and the police should be involved in public safety, and that's an issue that was brought to the community's attention and something needed to be done to correct the problem.
There was a meeting the other night, and it seems that a lot of the residents want the cops to either be fired or arrested. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think the police department needs to look at what, they have the body cam. If they see any violations of the use of the body cam, for instance, body cams under their policy and practice should not be turned off during engagement in a community situation like this, a neighborhood situation like this. So if they find that to be true, they have to hold those persons accountable. If other laws or rules of the department were violated, then it's up to the police department to hold those persons accountable. The thing that the department did do was to charge one of the police officers with a crime, and that's up to the DA's office and, to prosecute. So I can't say whether it was appropriate or not. I think that's what we have to see as it goes through the criminal justice procedures. But certainly from what I saw on the body cams and I've seen other videos prior to this, which were not as clear, but what I saw in the videos suggested to me that those people who were harmed and brutalized that was carried out, which I doubt is part of the expectations of police officers as well as the department. So that the department has to proceed with what they think is appropriate, what is ethical, what is legal, and that's not to be determined by me.
There's cases of police brutality throughout the nation. We've heard about it for a lot over the past few years. Let me ask you this question. The new police chief is black, and it seems like a lot of the victims are also black. So if there's police brutality and the police chief is black, what does it say about the police force in the city of Albany?
I don't think the color of the police chief has anything to do with this. I think we're talking about a system that's been put into place. A lot of the issues around police brutality are systemic. We can't just say there are bad apples, and there are, but we have to look at the entire system, the culture of it. For instance, I believe that police officers, like in every institution in our country include stereotypes. They operate from stereotypes of people. And unfortunately, the stereotypes about black people is that they are inclined to be criminals, unfortunately,
right.
That they are violent, not trustworthy, all of those stereotypes. People operate in most of our institutions with that belief, and we treat people accordingly. The police department is no exception. And if you think black people are inferior, they're not human, or they're all the things that I just mentioned in terms of stereotypes, then you're going to respond to them in that way. So if you're in a system, I don't care what color you are, if you're in a system that has these systemic problems, that's the issue that we need to be talking about. A black person doesn't necessarily mean that they're exempt from, the culture that's there and the systemic problems that exist in the police department. But the important thing is that those people who were attacked were black, and we treat, unfortunately, we treat black people differently. I don't think this kind of thing would have happened in a white middle class or upper class community or neighborhood. That I would almost say 100% that wouldn't have happened that way in a different environment.
Okay, what you just said, you don't think it would have happened in a white community. Therefore,
no.
Let's go back to the fact that Officer or Police Chief Hawkins is new. It seems that he is just, going along with the fact that minorities in the city of Albany are treated differently, people in the city of Albany. Would you agree?
I think anybody who's honest would agree with that. That's not new. That's not confined to Albany. Black people in this country are treated differently, especially in the criminal justice system. Great deal of racial disparity exists. And as a system, we do police differently in different communities. That is hard to argue against. I think those are the kinds of things we need to be looking at and questioning, not the fact that the police chief is black, but you have to understand the people that were, in this case, abused were black. And that doesn't surprise me because that's the way we handle people in our community. And I'm talking about systemically. There are certainly, and I will not subscribe to the bad apple theory because that's not the issue here. But there are people in the force who operate based on those stereotypes, but the whole system looks at them and treats them in that manner. So I don't know if I can say that the chief is just going along, but he's part of a system that's tainted by racism.
Well, I've lived in Albany 10 years now, and I've seen a number of incidents. What would you like to see to change the paradigm in the city of Albany to make, the police force more, I want to use the word friendly, maybe that's not the word, but towards the community as a whole? Nobody should be singled out for abuse and brutality. And it seems I've seen cases and heard about cases and read about cases where black people are brutalized here, and that's got to change.
Well, we've been working on that for a long time. things have changed somewhat. Albany, you know, as I said, I've been doing this in the community in terms of policing, you know, 35 years at least. And there have been some very positive changes in the police department. I think we've been able to, in the last 10 to 12 years, identify police chiefs who really understood the problem and were willing to work on it. I think mm-hmm. the Albany Police Department has, in the past, embraced community policing. Sometimes chiefs might not understand what that means fully, but I think that's something that we've tried to, you know, spend a lot of time talking about and finding ways to embrace that philosophy. Training mm-hmm. is very important. There's no doubt about that. I think there have been some positives in terms of training. They've done implicit bias. They've done a whole bunch of things. But we still, not only in the police department, but other institutions in our community, do not understand or know about the long history of treatment of people of color, particularly African Americans, in the criminal justice system. And I think, for me, that is crucial. I think we need to understand if there is anger, if there is distrust, it's unfortunately well-placed because there's a history here that we sort of ignore. So this isn't something that just started. It came about as this country formed and enslaved people, and we, you know, defined them as less than human, stole their labor, controlled them by many different means, and one of them was through the criminal justice system. And so there's a long history there. So we need to understand that, the past is always present. And we need to understand what particularly African Americans have been through in this country and how the criminal justice system has used it to control and try to destroy them. And once you understand that, I think it will help. I'm not saying it will eliminate, but it will help in terms of how we approach these problems, these systemic issues in our society, and make people become more involved in the whole issue of public safety. See, we're trying to change everybody's understanding of what and who is responsible for public safety. I maintain that the community has an equal role to play in public safety. Of course, the police department is important in this, but what I'm saying is that the community should feel that it has a role and responsibility to promote and maintain public safety in the community. So once we understand that, then I think we can hopefully come to a place where we can all be involved in trying to make sure that there is equitable treatment in the system, that public safety is one that we must, as I said, work together to maintain. And there are many ways of doing that. We have to also discuss these issues as a community. And I'm not talking about just getting together and, what people are doing in their terms of their response, I certainly appreciate that and respect it. But we also have to come to the point where we sit down and we talk about the fact that we have a problem here and that we have mm-hmm. to figure out how all of us can be involved in the solution. So that's where I'd like to get to.
So have you spoken to other people who feel the same way you do? And if so, have you formed any kind of a group, discussion group, or anything where this can happen?
We're certainly moving in that direction at the Center for Law and Justice. We want to find out more about what people are feeling and thinking, and we are now in the process of, you know, doing a survey so that we can record those thoughts, those feelings, those concerns, and then we sort of move from there, because sometimes we go off without understanding where people, what people are thinking about and what their fears are. And so we want to have a better understanding of that. And then hopefully we will work with the community, including law enforcement, to have some kind of a town hall forum in the next few weeks that will allow us to talk civilly about the problem and to understand why people are angry and upset, and what this community, what our police department, what our city needs to do to move us in the direction that I think we were going when some things have happened recently, like the Elazar Williams shooting. People are still very angry about it, and no one's willing to talk about that anger and why people feel that way. So we're trying to get all of those things, and hopefully something positive will happen.
So would you come back on Focus on Albany to share your views and all of your efforts and, you know, how the community is responding?
Yes, yes, definitely.
Great, great. So in the closing minutes, I know you have to run to a meeting. So in the closing minutes, Alice, share your thoughts about this whole situation and, you know.
Right now, unfortunately, there's a great deal of tension in the community.
Right.
Many people are angered not only about the recent incident, but about Elazar Williams. We're concerned that we are not working together as a community to talk about and deal with this and to acknowledge that we have a problem. And and I think that's a mistake for us not to to move in that direction. You know, and leadership is very important. So we're hoping that we can talk to especially law enforcement and other people in the community in terms of how we can involve and listen to people throughout the community and what we need to do to move forward in a positive way.
Great. Thank you, Alice. Thank you for taking
our survey.
Thank you for taking the time to be on Focus on Albany. And thank you, everybody, for listening. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. Thank you, Alice. I look forward to talking with you again. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you.